Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without right even now, showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
Gentlemen, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us, as athletes, were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. Hey everybody, this episode is with Courtney Falinski, professional volleyball player who's played all over the world. I'm going off the top of my head and I'm probably going to miss one, but we have Cyprus, the Philippines, Spain, Finland, and I forgot number 5. There's our lead-in. Listen to the episode so you can figure out which one I forgot, because I can't remember what number 5 is. Also, that was not in order. But anyway, Courtney was a professional volleyball player who's played all over the world. And we haven't had... we had Zach Melcher, men's professional volleyball, recently. And that was episode 37. So if you haven't heard that one, go back and check out the Zach Melcher episode. But that was men's, and he was in his first year. So it was kind of dissecting his process of getting into the business, which is incredibly valuable. But Courtney, obviously, she's looking at it from the female volleyball opportunities and looking at it more from... looking back on the experiences that she's gone through. So her story is a lot different than Zach's for a lot of reasons. Combing through here, I'm combing through my recent memory here. She is definitely the most recent American volleyball player that's played overseas. We've had volleyball people on the show, but even they were not American female volleyball athletes playing all over the world, and even if they were, that those were several episodes ago. So basically what I'm saying is this should be new content, good, important, valuable content. Took me a while to get to that conclusion, but that's basically what I'm saying. So Courtney, fantastic interview. Dissect everything, every place she's been. We're going to get into some of the negatives that she had to experience, which is going to be really important things for you to watch out for, as well as some of the positives. Courtney has been able to do something that I think a lot of athletes want to be able to do, but the level in which she was able to do it, I think, is the highest anybody we've had on the show yet has been able to do, and that's travel. And so we're going to get into a couple of examples. She's going to kind of explain where she's been, where she was able to travel, and specifically why her situation, or maybe the situation in general playing volleyball, allows for that, possibly. And so, I'm not going to waste any more of your time. We'll get right into this interview here with Courtney. But before we do that, there's a couple of reminders I got to give you. First, the social media, you can always find Globally Ballin on facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, and Twitter at globallyballin. In addition, you can now find us on Patreon at patreon.com/globallyballin. We have a bunch of stuff on there. For as little as $2 a month, there's platforms for you. We had a request come in, or just a mention, that the music in the background during the interview was kind of throwing them off a little bit. And so they just suggested maybe revisiting that idea. And so we did. And we're like, wow, that's fair. Let's check into it. And so we asked some of our other listeners and some other people we know. And then we got one of the worst things that could happen was a mix of answers. And so we didn't really gain any ground whatsoever. So instead, what we did is decided to offer an extra opportunity on Patreon. So if the music really keeps you from focusing, there is an option on Patreon. It's the lowest tier that allows you to get all of our interviews. We call them short and sweet. There's no music. There is no ads. It's just cut and dry the way some of you want. And then for those of you that do kind of enjoy the music, soothing, keeps you kind of locked in the conversation, which we've also heard, those will continue to be as they are. We might experiment with some different music in the background, but just keep in mind, if that's you, if the music really throws you off, there is a platform for it. And of course, let us know that that's you, and we can continue to keep that in mind. So go ahead and check that out if you haven't already, but otherwise you can always reach us on those social media links. Continue to keep an eye out for our recent episodes. And finally, if you enjoyed the show, a rating on Apple Podcasts as well as maybe a short review is huge for us. It really is. It helps get the word out. And obviously, I'm a firm believer that this word is a word that needs to get out. So any of those things that you could do, follow us on the social media, maybe a rating, maybe a review, and check out Patreon at least. All of those things would be greatly appreciated. So thank you and enjoy the show. Okay, to start off, let's have you introduce who you are and what you do or did.
Hello, this is Courtney Falinski. I have been a professional volleyball player for the last 5 years, most recently playing in Cyprus.
And where did you start off? Where was college volleyball for you?
I played college ball at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia.
At what point in your college career were you aware that you could go out and play at least, not only that there were opportunities, but that your talent level would have been high enough to go out there?
I found out, I didn't even know that playing overseas was an option until my freshman year of college. We took a trip to Europe, like I did a European tour as a team, and I had a couple of teammates who were going to graduate and planning to go play. And so we had some people overseas talk to us about it, and obviously like, told us that any of us that wanted to play there, that were playing at Tech, probably had what it took to play pro. I think our level was probably already where it needed to be, just since there are so many levels to play at overseas. Mm. And I, at the time, had no interest whatsoever. I didn't, even up until my third year, I still didn't want to. And then my senior year, in my last year, I just improved a lot. I had a new coach that season who had played abroad after she had been done with college and just really encouraged me to try it at least once. So I decided to go for it and ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would.
So would you say then that since you haven't even heard about it until your freshman year of college, this is definitely opportunities that the average volleyball player has no idea about, at least at a younger age?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's kind of where we started on this whole thing, is we started to realize that there were plenty of opportunities for all sports, men and women, that they have no idea about. And so, yeah. Well, that's good in a sense, cause it kind of solidifies what we've always believed. All right. So after college and you decide you're going to go play overseas, where's the first place you go?
I went to play in Finland for my first season.
And what was, when does the season start for Finland?
That season started in August, or preseason, like most European teams, started in August and went, I think regular season finished around March and playoffs around April or May, depending how far you went. So pretty long. I think I ended up being there for close to 9 months.
And do they play, is it a like a Finland league? They play teams in Finland, or do they go out outside of Europe or what?
Yeah, the league is just in Finland. And that's how it is. And every European country just has a league in their country. And then sometimes you can play there's what they call SEV. It's like the European Confederation has their own tournaments you can play in. So that's where you have like Champions League. And then the lower, that's within SEV. And then you have kind of lower level, still very, very competitive tournaments. If you're not Champions League, you can play like Challenge Cup, or I think it's Challenge Cup, or just like SEV Cup.
Hmm.
And they have a couple different rounds of that. So you don't, because Champions League is like the top team in every country qualifies for Champions League. It's similar to football. And in Finland, we did not play any international competitions, but in my teams in Germany, Switzerland, and Spain, we did.
Okay.
We played Challenge Cup and SEV Cup. And then, so then you travel to other countries.
Okay. In Europe then, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was the atmosphere like playing there compared to what you were doing at Georgia Tech?
I mean, atmosphere, it's tough to compare because obviously at Tech we had a really great gym. You know, we would pack it out for most of our games. I think it had the most fans in Germany and the Philippines. And Philippines, I'm sure, does not surprise you.
No.
Because they love volleyball so much there. So it just depended where I was. You know, Finland, Switzerland sometimes, Cyprus, the crowds weren't quite the same. But, like, it didn't really matter. I mean, as long as you can kind of provide that for yourself on the court, it doesn't really matter. And we always had good home crowds at the gyms that I play in. So even if it wasn't quite what I was used to at Tech, it was still, you know, if it's an exciting game, an important match, like, it's not going to matter if you have 3,000 people or 300.
So after Finland, what was next?
After that, I signed with an agency. I didn't have an agent my first season. I just had my college coach and assistant, who still had some connections overseas, help me find that contract in Finland. And I signed with an agent for the next year, and I went to play in Germany.
And what part of Germany were you in?
I was in Wilsburg. It's in Bavaria, like an hour away from Munich.
And when you go there, and you both Finland and Germany, for now at least, you were getting housing comes with that contract, travel, yes. I'm sure, food as well?
Yes, pretty much everything. We had food in Finland just because we had a sponsor, a restaurant sponsor. But that's, food kind of goes either way. It depends if you have sponsorships that cover it and kind of give you some things. But besides that, everything is covered. Insurance, I had a car in Germany. I had transportation paid for in Switzerland as well. Flights home and back, or there and back home at the end of the season. Housing, everything.
What was your daily schedule like? I mean, were you practicing twice a day, that kind of thing? Were you, was life completely volleyball when you were in there? Or did you have any sort of time to you and your teammates outside of the court?
It was pretty much completely volleyball. We trained twice a day, every place I've played. The only place that we didn't was the Philippines. That was, sometimes we would, but usually not. But in Europe, yeah, twice a day, every day. Germany, I think, was the most intense. That was the place that was mostly all volleyball all the time, because that was just what was expected. The level there is really high. It was a really serious club, and they, even if we had days off, they didn't really want us going and, you know, taking a day trip or exploring. They wanted us resting. Whereas in Switzerland, it was still twice a day, still very professional. But, you know, the people in our town and our club really enjoyed seeing us go out for a day and go to the mountains, or, you know, go to the river or go do something. They really like to see that. So it just kind of depends on the culture and the volleyball culture where you are.
And then matches were what, once a week on the weekend, or how did that work?
Once a week on the weekend, you had your league matches. If you were playing in a European Confederation tournament, like a SEV Cup or a Challenge Cup, then those games would be in the middle of the week. And that, those didn't go on very long. I think when I was in Germany and Switzerland, we had our SEV Cup matches like in December and January, and those would be on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then we'd have our league matches on Friday or Saturday. So then you're playing twice a week. And obviously for the European Confederation tournaments, you're traveling internationally, because every round you play that team home and away. So it gets a little bit exhausting, but yeah, at the same time, I always preferred having more matches because that meant less practice.
Yeah.
And it actually
absolutely
kind of was when I felt the best, because we had, you know, more games means more rest. So it wasn't so bad.
What is the rule, or what was the rule for those leagues when it come to imports? Was there a limit?
There was no limits on any team I played for, except for the Philippines, obviously, which is pretty typical of Asian leagues. And then in Cyprus, they had, I guess they had some rules. In Cyprus, they had a rule. You could have as many imports as you wanted, but on game day, you could only have three on the roster for that game. So we had four. So one girl had to just sit in the stands every game. And then in Switzerland, they have a rule where you have to have two Swiss players on the court at all times or you pay a fine. But there were still lots of foreign players in that league.
So was there ever...
a pretty easy rule to keep.
Yeah, absolutely. So was there ever a time when you were the only American on the entire roster? Philippines?
Philippines, yes. Let me think. When I was in Spain for a very short time, the fall before I went to the Philippines, and I was the only American on that team, on the roster there.
Was there any sort of tough border at all when it comes to, you know, language or anything when you're the only American on a team like that? Now, you know, you're in Germany and Finland and you're not, but Spain and the Philippines being the only American on there, is that difficult communication-wise or anything like that?
It depends. In the Philippines, it was not hard at all. There was really no issue. Our coaching staff spoke English most of the time. I know sometimes if we were in a high stress situation in a match, he would speak Tagalog, but I kind of knew what he was saying.
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Based on the situation, it's not that hard to figure out.
No, it's not.
And he was mostly talking to the Filipino players, so, but they would always give me a translation if it was necessary. Spain was difficult just because I was the only non-native Spanish speaker. My Spanish is passable, it's okay. And when I left, I'd gotten a lot better. When I was listening, I could understand everything they were saying. My speaking was still a little too slow to actually engage. And that just made it hard. Not so much on the court. Again, you know, if our coach was screaming, I could figure out what he was mad about. But that was more difficult than I expected in terms of like building relationships, not being able to express myself in the way I'm used to, not being able to access my sense of humor the way that I'm used to. And I still built really strong relationships with my teammates, but it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
What comes after Germany? Is that Switzerland?
Yes, Switzerland was next.
And at that point, had you played entire seasons both in Finland and Germany?
Yes.
Okay, so how long were you in Switzerland?
I was in Switzerland about the same. I think I got there the end of August, and we finished up in April, I believe.
Okay, so Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
same time frame, 8-9 months.
Okay. I'm trying to think. We have our next episode that drops today is a young man who played in the Czech Republic, but I'm trying to think. Otherwise, have we had anybody? I don't think we've had anybody in Switzerland yet. One basketball player. They get a good rep for a lot of stuff. So I'm assuming it was a good experience in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And like, and to be clear, I've loved every single place I've played. Spain was the only one that was not my favorite, but still good things to take away. I really enjoyed Switzerland. I think it's rare to have the chance to live there because it's so expensive. And so again, having everything taken care of for me and getting to live there and be insured there and have a bank account there was really awesome. Definitely something I will never get the chance to have again, I think.
Were you living in the city?
No, we were in a really small town. We were close to Bern, which is the capital. It's like 25 to 30 minutes by the train from Bern, in a really, really small town called Dudingen. And that was close to Freiburg, which is smaller. Like you can go there if you want a city feel, but it's not so big. But kind of like right in the middle, really small place, but it was easy to get around. Like, you know, Switzerland it's surrounded by everything. So it wasn't hard to get out for a day or two if we wanted to and if we had the time.
So are you able to get to the mountains every once in a while?
Yeah, I was.
Awesome.
They're unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, what's next after Switzerland?
After Switzerland, I went to Spain. So I was in the Canary Islands, and it was kind of like I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go. I turned down some things that I probably should have entertained more. And then I thought, well, you know, like, this is going to be a beautiful place. It'll be kind of like a more relaxing season, which is kind of what I need right now. I was really exhausted after my first three. And so I went to play for a club in the Canary Islands called Las Palmas. And I was only there for about 3 months. You know, it was just, the club was very disorganized. There were things that when I arrived should have been taken care of. And luckily I had the luxury of having played for three very professional clubs who took really good care of me. So I kind of knew how things were supposed to be. And when I arrived, I realized that they were not how they were supposed to be. And one of the biggest issues was the club owed money to a player that had played there a couple of years before. And so the International Volleyball Federation had put a hold on all of our foreign players' transfers. So there was me, there were two Brazilians, and a girl from Cuba, and we could not be transferred onto the team's roster until they paid this other player her money. And so we missed five matches and were practicing and training and couldn't play. And so I told my agent, I said, go ahead and start looking for something else because this is not going to work. I don't think I can.
Yeah. So there's two big parts to that. First, the things that weren't there that you thought they were supposed to be or should have been, were those things that are specifically written out in your contract or just things that you kind of come to expect?
Things that were in my contract. And we had like dates that we had agreed upon by which they needed to be done. And there was no sense of urgency to fulfill their end of the contract. For things in my apartment, for my visa, for they were really dishonest about what was actually happening with the FIVB, the International Federation situation. I actually found out what was really going on from the USA volleyball representative. So just a lot of red flags. I think if I had had the situation happen in my first or second seasons, I would have just stayed because I wouldn't have known. I would have been too afraid to take the gamble of looking for something else. You know, the president of the club was a very, very inappropriate person in how he dealt with players and how he treated them, which is another big issue for me, you know, when just really inappropriate things that he said. And luckily he respected the distance that I demanded between he and I, but just someone that I did not want to have to be around and have, you know, someone that I didn't want to have in control of my salary and my life for 9 months, because that's, at the end of the day, that's the control that he has over the players, unfortunately. And luckily, my agent was able to find a team in the Philippines. So I actually signed that contract before I even left Spain. And I ended up leaving right at the beginning of December and going back home.
This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, brought to you by Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to bring success to the lives of young men in ways in which they may have not reached that success otherwise. One of the ways in which they do this is through their professional basketball team, the Lewisville Yellow Jackets, who play in TBL or the Basketball League. Make sure you go check out Creating Young Minds on all major platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn. I encourage you to dive more into the mission of Creating Young Minds as they strive to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. Thank you. So about home, at this point, had you been home?
Yes, I would go home. My parents live in Houston.
Okay.
And so I would go back there every off season and just kind of, I would coach, you know, at the club that I grew up playing at, travel around, take time to see family, that kind of stuff. Just relax because the seasons were very long, very exhausting.
Were all these leagues kind of playing at the same time, roughly? I guess that's part of what I was getting at. Are they all broken up or do they play around basically the same time?
They all play at the same time. In Europe, pretty much everybody starts preseason August and September and goes until April or May.
Okay. All right. So you leave Spain early. Now, that's the other thing is that if a player is interested in playing in this kind of thing, is there a resource they can go to see any of these clubs that are kind of, I don't know about this, they got some red flags that they can see about beforehand?
You know, I don't know about that. My best guess would be that maybe on the International Federation site, FIVB is the acronym, maybe they would have some information, but I don't know if they publish ongoing disputes with clubs or even past ones. I'm not sure. And I had heard, you know, even my agent when I signed to go there was kind of like, you know, I'm not sure if this is the right move. I've heard some bad things, but let's just see. And then now I've had a couple of girls just like message me on Instagram asking about them, and I've been completely honest. And I think word of mouth among players and agencies is probably the most abundant resource right now, because I just don't think that any confederations will publish any negative press about leagues or clubs, and agencies I for sure would not on their websites, because you can have agencies that have, you know, lists of countries that are looking for certain positions and what they're offering. But I've never seen anything kind of offering almost like a Yelp review of a club. I've yet to see that.
Well, would you like to tell us what club that was?
That was Las Palmas.
Okay.
I think they go, it's like Olympico is the name of the club in Las Palmas.
Okay. All right. So you go home, you get an offer, you're going to go play in the Philippines. And when does that start?
So that was to start in January. I flew there at the end of January.
And who were you playing for?
I was playing for Photon.
And where did they, was it just in Manila?
Yes, the whole league was in Manila. Sometimes we had matches in provinces, just a couple, but all the teams are based in Manila.
Okay, and is it just one import for the team?
We had two.
Okay, all right. Where was the second one from? Remember?
I actually had two different fellow imports. The first one was from Turkey.
Okay.
And then they ended up letting her go halfway through the season, and they hired a girl from Spain.
Okay. And are those contracts, those are open to just drop you mid-season if you're not playing or performing well, or does it depend on your contract?
Yeah, they can. The team has the right to do that pretty much whenever they want.
Okay, so how was your time in the Philippines?
It was wonderful. I loved it so much. I think, like I said, I've been lucky and had really good experiences, but I think that one was my favorite. And it could very well have been because I came from such a situation that was so stressful and just so negative all around. Maybe it just seemed extra sweet to be in the Philippines. But I mean, all around, it was a great experience living there, traveling there. I stayed for about 6 weeks after my season was over.
Really?
I just traveled all around. Yeah. And my teammates were wonderful. The club was amazing. The fans were incredible. It was just a really good time. I loved it.
All right. So, I mean, we got to talk a little bit about that travel, but first we got to talk about the league, I guess, a little bit. But so what was the atmosphere like? I'm very familiar with the country. So I know what volleyball is to them. What was it like playing volleyball there?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, I had no idea. Like, I had some friends who had gone to play there, and I saw, you know, their Instagram followership tripled while they were there and crazy stuff like that. But it wasn't really an indication for me of just how intense the fans were. I mean, the crowds were incredible. Like, and that's always, it makes it so much more fun. I remember our last playoff match, it was wild. And like, we could barely hear each other on the court because the fans were screaming so loud, which is the best. And just how supportive they were. I mean, the people there are so kind. Like, I think I posted a picture of, like, on my Instagram story of a mango or something random that I, like, said I was enjoying. And then the next day, a fan had delivered, like, 20 mangoes in a bag to my condo, to the receptionist. And I was like, what? And just stuff like that. Just super selfless. Just so generous with their time. And the gifts, and they wanted photos before and after games, and just so much support. It was really wonderful.
So how did you guys finish? You said your last playoff game. How far did you go?
We lost in the quarterfinals, which was a big bummer, but it was a good series at least. It was two really good matches.
Okay, and did you say how long the season lasts?
The season there is short, so yeah. I was there the whole time. It was just January to May.
Okay. All right. So you're done after May. And so part of this is, you know, we have athletes that want to know if they're going to these exotic or interesting places, are they going to actually get a chance to see any part of it? And you mentioned that you were able to because you stayed longer. Now, part of that is because, I'm guessing at least, because a lot of these volleyball seasons start at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, and then I guess for anyone listening, different sports are, I mean, basketball is definitely not that case. You could play all year, so you might not have that option. But volleyball, that is a massive perk, is that if they all start in the same time, you kind of get that time to recoup afterwards
and definitely. Get
going again in the same season. So where are some of the places you get to go see?
Just in the Philippines or
Yeah, overall? At least specifically in the Philippines, and then we'll check
Okay, we'll start with the Philippines because that was for sure the longest I've stayed after our season was done. Because every place I try and stay a little bit longer after to kind of explore. So we finished like April 12th or something, I think, was our last match. And the club had already bought my flight home for May 25th. And my best friend from home was coming for that last week to visit me. So I couldn't leave because then she'd be there chilling by herself.
Yeah.
And luckily they were super generous. And I got to stay in my apartment, have everything I had already had still included, even though we weren't playing anymore. And so I went to my teammates and I went to Batangas for a few nights. I went to Siargao for about a week by myself. Our club took us to Balasin. It's a private island, a 30-minute flight from Manila. And that was like a bonding trip for the team for the next season. And the club still invited me along, which was, I couldn't believe they did that. It was so nice of them.
Wow.
And that was incredible. It's like, the whole island is a resort, and you have to have a membership in order to even be able to go there. So that was the craziest thing I've ever done. Yeah, and then let's see where else. Yeah, I think just like some places still on the main island, here and there. Batangas, what is it? Baguio?
Yep.
Tagaytay, kind of like day trips, mm-hmm. sort of places. And then when, again, Shargab and myself, and then whenever my best friend came, we did, Palawan, El Nido, and Coron. And we traveled for about a week together.
Oh, wow. You got all out there. All right. So,
I know.
In general, when you were playing everywhere, did they know who you were off the court for any of these leagues at least?
Yeah, I think the Philippines was like the widest reach I had just because the games are publicized so widely. In every other place, it was just kind of because the town was so small. In Germany, we were recognized too. But we also were driving around a car that had our face on it. So I think every other place I played, we were just known because it was a smaller city and everybody there knew us. But if we had gone, further out in the country, nobody really knew who we were.
Okay. So, and then the other leagues, other than the Philippines, was there some time to travel? You mentioned it was a little bit longer each time.
Yeah. So my first season when I was in Finland, I actually, and you can kind of tell your club when you want to leave because they're responsible for your flight home. So every club would just say, here is the end of your contract. Do you want to stay longer? Do you want us to book you a flight from a different city? That kind of thing. So after Finland, I actually asked for a flight home 3 weeks after our season was done. And I asked to fly home from Prague. And so I flew to Prague and did a big kind of circle around Europe.
Sweet.
And it was really awesome. Traveled alone for a few weeks and then went home. That was wonderful. In Germany, I stayed about a week longer and just was traveling around Germany. I didn't go anywhere else. Switzerland, I went to Spain after for about a week and for vacation. And then the Philippines went all over the place.
Now, typically when you were done, it was up to you, right? This traveling stuff. I know you said the Philippines kept the condo and stuff, but for the most part, this was up to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then do we got Cyprus last? Is that last?
Cyprus is last.
All right. And that was the most recent. Was that this past season?
It was.
Okay. So you go to Cyprus. Were you there the whole time or did you say you got cut short?
Got cut short. And I actually was even shorter than everybody else on my team because Cyprus, starts like the rest of Europe. They start August, September. And I had been I lived in Atlanta and it was previous off season. And I actually had like a job. I decided that I wanted to work in my off season to kind of prepare for retirement because I knew that this season or the next would be my last one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a contract at a company in Atlanta for 6 months. And so I took the fall off. So I moved back to Houston in December and then I went to Cyprus in January. So I was kind of joining them halfway through their season. I came back after their Christmas break was over.
So what made you think or decide that this was going to be your last season?
A lot of things. I decided to make the move to Atlanta, just because I was able to find that job through somebody in my network, where it was a really good situation because they knew that I wanted to play again. So they had no issue with me leaving after a few months. And I just kind of wanted to see how it went to see, what it was like to live on my own, to have a working schedule and see if that was something I was ready for. I knew that I wanted to play one more season because I really missed playing while I was working, but I also really, really loved getting to have a normal, real life. And I loved working. It was just a new challenge. And honestly, I loved playing in Cyprus because I love to play. But it was different. And going back, like it was the first time that I had something that I really, really missed outside of playing, like a life that I really wanted to get back to, which was interesting. I had never felt that before in any of my first four seasons.
I'm sure. Yeah. Once you get that, it's the nail in the coffin. It's probably time to wrap it up.
Yeah. And I felt very thankful. I mean, I know so many athletes who their career ends with an injury or their body is just saying it's time or whatever, and they don't know what they want to do next, or they don't know where they want to live. And luckily I had, a community in Atlanta, which I went to college here. So it's a city I'm very familiar with. I had a place that I knew I wanted to be with a strong network that I knew I could either go back to my old job or could decently easily find a new one. You know, my friends are there, my life is there, but I established last summer. So I think it's very lucky to know what you want to move on to when you're leaving a sport.
I know, I'm sure it's different for everybody, but this is five seasons, right? This is, yeah, okay. Is that seem about right? Or do, I mean, is it even, are you even able to guess at how long somebody can typically play overseas?
I think five is pretty good. I would say that's close to average, but I mean, people always ask me, you know, what's a typical age to retire? And I'm always like, look, I've played with players who retire when they're 35. I played with a Cuban woman who was incredible and she was 40 years old when she retired. So wow. There's like, it really just depends on what you want. I think for me, this is longer than I ever thought I would do this, especially considering I never thought I would. I think five is pretty good.
Okay. So to wrap up, there's something we do with, if we ever had an athlete who's played in at least three spots, which would be you, we throw them a scenario like best, you know, crowd atmosphere. And you just quickly tell us which one of the five that was. It's great for the listeners because it gives them a quick idea of what they can expect in different places.
Okay, so like a little lightning round.
Yeah. So we'll start there. Fans.
Philippines.
Food.
Ooh. Oh. I love food so much. I'm sorry. I'm taking too long.
No, that's totally
Switzerland.
Agree. Okay.
And Philippines.
This is good too.
Very different.
Feeling of safety.
Switzerland.
Team doctors.
Switzerland.
Contract pay.
Philippines.
Housing.
Housing. Switzerland. I loved my apartment there. And I had a great roommate.
Competition level.
Germany.
I think that's all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
To quick hit those because people want to know.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything you think that we need to know or young volleyball players or even general athletes need to know about opportunities that either you've experienced or they could experience overseas that we haven't covered?
I think the best advice I got that I haven't said so far is, and it's what that agent we met my freshman year told us. He just said, if you really want to do this, if you really want to play overseas, there is a level for you. And I think that that's something that people don't say enough because the whole professional sports thing kind of gets romanticized. And obviously there are very high levels, but there are more levels than you know. So if you really want to do it, there's a way to do it. There's a place for you.
Do you think that if volleyball players at a high school age were more aware of this, many more would carry their talent into college?
I don't know if I'd say many more. I think more would. Probably.
Okay. Thank you, and stay safe, stay healthy, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. You too.
Thank you, bye.
All right, bye.
So I hope you enjoyed that episode. Big thanks to Courtney for taking some time to interview with us. Sometimes athletes can be a little leery about talking negatives about specifically in some of their experiences. And for good reason, you know, they don't want to burn any bridges or anything like that. But I always appreciate it when guests on the show will specifically break down the negatives that they experienced. The sheer honesty of being able to tell us the negatives and the specifics about the negatives are really important because it helps outline for you, any players out there that are listening, things to watch out for. And you get to hear about the speed bumps and hiccups that other players had to experience. And in situations like the interview with Courtney, you're given advice on how to avoid it. Albeit we weren't able to dissect a specific area where you can get these big rundowns of maybe troubled teams or clubs, but at least being able to hear that experience and being able to tuck it away in the back of your mind as something to look out for and something to learn from, even if it wasn't something you personally experienced, is really, really important. So thank you to Courtney for talking about that. I mentioned in the intro that Courtney was able to travel, and obviously you heard that in the interview, at a level that I don't think any of our past guests were able to do, at least nothing that they shared that they were able to do. And I think that's a really cool thing to at least note. Now, this probably isn't why you'd get into playing international sports, but it's international. It's obviously a part of what's going on. You're going to different places around the world. Maybe part of you, or I would think
if you're choosing to go overseas to play a sport, at least part of you is excited about the traveling aspect. And so to hear Courtney talk about that, and actually if you go back to the episode with, again, a reference to the Zach Meltzer episode, he also talks about that opportunity. And so, again, I've said before, I am a novice at this. That's why I have a guest every week. So I can learn from it and you guys can all learn from it. And obviously we don't do volleyball every week. We do it with somebody else every episode. And sometimes it's volleyball, sometimes it's American football, sometimes it's soccer, baseball, basketball, whatever. But what I am saying is that I'm starting to see a pattern and I want to know if it's true. Let's see if this hypothesis is true. We'll reflect back on this later. My hypothesis is that volleyball allows for athletes to travel more than any other sport. We mentioned in the interview that maybe not basketball so much because basketball has all these different seasons going on. I mean, you can finish in one country and then another country's just getting started. So basketball for sure not. For the other ones, I just, you know, we haven't had enough time to tell. The baseball seems like it never stops. So again, baseball, I think, would fall into that same category as basketball, wherein you're basically always playing. And so, you know, who knows? You know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe somebody out there who plays one of these sports or has more experience is like, oh, he is dead wrong. Great. Let us know. Great lead-in. If you think I'm totally wrong, send us a message at Instagram at globallyballinofficial. You can send us a Facebook message, facebook.com/globallyballin, or tweet at us at globallyballin. Those are all great ways to get a hold of us, especially if I'm wrong. I'd love to hear it because, again, I'm trying to learn. And then if I am wrong, I can pass it on next episode. So we're learning together. That's completely the goal. And so that being said, I have to thank Courtney again for her honesty and being able to really look at the pros and cons and get into the specifics. I know sometimes being an interviewee and having a very horizontal timeline type interview can be kind of bland. I don't know if that's how they feel or not. I know that it can be. But it's super valuable for the listeners because they get to look at all these different pieces and they get to learn step by step and hear the experience step by step. So it's really important. So I thank Courtney, not just Courtney, every past interviewee and every future interviewee who's going to do that with us. I appreciate it. But because it's her episode, thank you, Courtney. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your answers and your help. And you will hear from us all soon. Hey everybody, thank you again for getting through another episode. We really appreciate it. I just want to quick redirect you to where you can find us one more time to kind of close out this whole episode. You can find us at facebook.com/globallyballin, Twitter at globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial. The name was taken. And patreon.com/globallyballin. Again, what you can find there is all of these episodes music-free as well as ad-free. And a bunch of other tiers that offer you a lot of other stuff. There is a ton of content available for you that you are not getting here that's out there on the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, that would be great. And then, of course, again, if you like the show, we would really appreciate a rating and a review wherever you listen. I know I normally suggest Apple Podcasts, but if there's a way, you know, if you listen to it somewhere else and there's a way to rate it, that would be great as well. But any of that is very, very helpful and very much appreciated. It does take a lot of work putting these things together and editing them up and making it all mesh together and getting our interviews lined up and all this. So it takes a lot, but we really believe in it and we encourage you, if you believe in it too, doing one of those things to help us out would be fantastic. Otherwise, simply you listening to our episodes coming out is a huge blessing to us. So thank you very much for supporting the show, and you'll get an episode from us here in the coming days.